At 5:44, I'm Justin Martin with a special report from KERA News. We're going to bring you the latest on how the coronavirus outbreak is affecting Texas, from life along the Texas-Mexico border to the Dallas restaurant scene. And as places of worship have moved services online, we'll hear from a sociologist about how not being able to worship in person can be difficult for some. But first, the latest on the climbing case count across the state. Texas is reporting more than 1,900 cases of COVID-19 and at least 26 deaths. Dallas County today is reporting 64 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the total count to 367. The county has the most infections in the state. Elsewhere in North Texas, Tarrant County is reporting a total of 114 cases. Collin County has adjusted its case count to 87 because an earlier case turned out to be a Dallas County resident. In Denton County, officials this afternoon announced 31 new cases of COVID-19 at a facility for people with disabilities. 39 residents have now tested positive at the Denton State Supported Living Center. In addition, two staff members have also tested positive. Dr. Matt Richardson heads Denton County Public Health. He says he believes the residents got the virus through community spread.
That's not a surprise. They're a fairly isolated situation in their environment, and so we don't believe that it started there. We do believe the community brought it in. They have 1,400-odd staff members, and so that makes sense that these people live in communities all across the Metroplex.
Denton County now has a total of 137 cases of COVID-19. Counties around Texas are calling for additional help in fighting the spread of the coronavirus. KERA's Ana Perez reports that includes help from the military.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins says residents may soon see military vans around the county. But don't be alarmed. They're requested support from the National Guard.
These are epidemiologists, nurses that support our epidemiology team. This is not law enforcement, but they are wearing military uniforms. They will be going door-to-door in neighborhoods doing contact tracing. In other words, if a person gets sick and they were around other people, then we have to do disease detective work.
Jenkins has also asked the federal government for staffing support for a 250-bed hospital to be set up in Dallas, the first of its kind in Texas. I'm Ana Perez in Dallas.
Along the Texas-Mexico border, public health authorities often work together, and it feels more like one region than two different nations. That's the case in El Paso and Juarez. But the response to the COVID-19 threat has exposed differences in the approaches taken by the U.S. and Mexico as they try to slow the spread of the virus. That's meant that while the pause button has been pushed to the north, life is going on much as usual on the southern side of the border. KTEP's Angela Cochurga reports from Juarez.
While people on the El Paso side of the border hunker down in Juarez, newspaper vendor Manuel Urbina said he was working as normal. News of the coronavirus was splashed across the front page of the paper he was selling, but Urbina described Juarez as tranquil. El Paso and Juarez share geography and economy, bloodlines. But when it comes to their initial responses to the coronavirus, this is a tale of two sister cities. El Paso and Leticia Favela noticed the differences.
Pero en El Paso, no.
She said it's business as usual in Juarez. While in El Paso, she rarely leaves home. The El Paso grandmother ventured into Juarez only to buy her insulin because it's much cheaper here. What's happening in Juarez is not just about a casual attitude toward the COVID-19 threat, said street vendor Carlos Gonzalez. He said many people here live hand to mouth and cannot afford, in his words, the luxury of staying home. That's especially true, he said, because they're getting no help from the government. While there's been a hot debate in the U.S. over whether the federal government moved quickly enough to prepare for and combat the outbreak, there's been more agreement south of the border that Mexico's federal government has been slow to respond. Critics say it has not helped that the country's president was out hugging and kissing people and encouraging them to go to restaurants. Some state officials are taking more decisive action.
Importante mensaje del gobernador Javier Corral Jurado.
Estimados paisanos y paisanas.
Earlier this week, Juarez got a clear message from the governor.
Se suspenderán todos los eventos deportivos.
Chihuahua Governor Javier Corral Jurado announced that all public events are canceled, and most businesses, including shopping centers, restaurants, and bars, closed. He urged families to stay home. Still, this week you could find lots of people out and about in Juarez. That worries some officials and people who live here. Pharmacy worker Hilda Rayos is concerned the virus is spreading. In this close-knit border region where many have family on both sides, if large numbers of people become deathly ill with the coronavirus in Juarez, the heartbreak will also be felt in El Paso. In Juarez, I'm Angela Cocherga.
Now to North Texas and the restaurant scene. Takeout and drive-through may work well for fast food joints and chains, but not so much for locally owned places that also serve as community hubs. The kind of restaurants perfect for a family meal or a brunch, a first date or a work lunch. KEI's Miguel Perez has this look at two eateries in the Oak Cliff neighborhood of Dallas. They're just blocks from each other, yet serve different communities. Both are learning to adapt.
It's not unusual for Oddfellows to have a line out of the door on any given weekend.
We're sort of infamous for brunch. We tend to run a pretty long wait.
Owner Amy Wallace Cowan and her team have been serving up hip American fare in Bishop Arts for 10 years. And Cowan says the upscale diner was stocking up for spring break before COVID-19 hit North Texas.
Which is typically a very busy week for us because families are out. People have time to come and linger over pancakes and comfort food.
But since daily life in Dallas has come to a halt, these typically busy streets have gone silent. Oddfellows, stuck with a lot of extra product, had to think fast.
So we were able to roll a bunch of our employees onto unemployment. We have worked with our landlord to go ahead and preemptively say we may not be making our April 1st rent payment. And then we actively set to work with the one employee we retained, which is our chef, on how to use the product we had in-house.
Cowan's team set up wooden stalls stocked with fresh produce, milk, toilet paper, beer, and wine outside of the restaurant. Vince Rowe lives in Kessler Park nearby, and he's a big fan of the makeshift market.
I've been over there just about every morning, predominantly to support them, because we do not want to see them go away anytime soon.
And just a few blocks away on Jefferson Avenue, another Oak Cliff mainstay is also helping its customers adapt to its sudden closure. Juan Contreras helps run his family's taqueria, El Padrino. The small shop, painted bright blue and orange, has long been a staple for the neighborhood's older Mexican residents.
This is usually folks who are retired, who have been loyal customers with us for a very long time. They come in for their coffee, their pan dulce.
Contreras says many of them, unaware of the news, didn't really understand why the restaurant was only taking orders for pickup.
So a lot of them thought we were just being rude and we did not want to have them sit inside. It took us a little bit to explain to them, well, this is what's happening and this is why we have been restricted. So that was a struggle.
The vast majority of their customers dine in, so El Padrino has been hit hard by these restrictions.
I guess when they think about to-go or takeout, they don't automatically think about that restaurant that they love to go sitting at for a dining experience.
Contreras has started a GoFundMe page to shore up costs and help wait staff.
Because a lot of the waitresses that we have are heavily dependent on tip wage. So that was the thought process on that, to supplement that income lost for them.
Over at Oddfellows, Cowan has also drummed up support for her staff. Despite the cuts it's had to make, the restaurant has kept supplying family meals. That's the group meal restaurants traditionally provide to staff for free.
So people stepped up, they gave money so that we're able to stretch, and now we're feeding our neighboring businesses as well as our own employees meals to go that they can come pick up once a day.
Cowan says it's hard to say how long Oddfellows can weather this storm. Other restaurants in Bishop Arts have already announced temporary closures, but Oddfellows has chosen to keep up with a situation that seems to change nearly every day.
It's the tenants that were already struggling that now they have to overcome this as well. And so I really wonder about our neighbors and about their stability and how that'll actually change what's happening in and around our immediate community.
El Padrino has been in business for 30 long years. This shutdown has the potential to make it their last.
Without like shutting down completely, I would say we could probably last about 3 months.
Both businesses, as well as restaurants all over Dallas, are looking to local customers to help them stay afloat during these uncertain times.
Maybe the only bright spot is that you've always enjoyed Oddfellows, or you've had a great time at Revelers Hall, or shopping and dining around Bishop Arts, but now maybe you have a little bit more of an idea of who's behind those. You've got names and faces and and real life stories that make those places that everybody enjoys come to life.
The challenge now is keeping them alive. I'm Miguel Perez in Dallas.
For a second straight week, North Texans won't be able to attend religious services. And for those who find comfort in faith, the ban is particularly tough. This week on Think, KERA's Chris Boyd talked with sociologist Christopher Bader about the connection between religious observance and how people process fear, and about what to do when gathering together isn't an option.
Attending religious services and the frequency with which we do so has a curvilinear effect on fear. For people who haven't been in a statistics class in a while, what does that mean?
Sure. It means that at low levels of religious service attendance, let's say you don't go or you go about once a month, that there are lower levels of fear as you go. As you get to very high levels of church attendance, say that you go every week or multiple times a week, then there's an effect on fear. That what we find is that there's this interesting effect right at the middle. People who are going, say, once a month, that type of thing.
Why would they be more afraid?
People who are going to church a lot are hearing messages that God will take care of them. Their continued attendance at church is suggesting that they are hearing those messages. If you are someone who is going only once in a while, going only once a month, oftentimes what we find, and that this goes for a variety of things that are related to religion, those religious messages aren't as held as strongly by you.
So in other words, we're still freaked out, but we don't necessarily hear that God's going to take care of our problems and help us with
that. That's a very good way to put it, that we're freaked out enough to go to church, but we aren't strongly enough wedded to those particular religious beliefs for those messages we're hearing from the church to provide true comfort. We do find that during disasters, during times when people are afraid, well, not in the current situation where we're not supposed to gather together, that people will gather together oftentimes at church services. But if you are going to church only a little bit, the messages that church is sending to you aren't going to help all that much.
Are you able to speculate as to whether people who are normally church attenders on a regular basis, whether their sort of sense that they're protected will carry through this time when they can't go?
That is generally we find, and this is from other research, not my own, that people who attend church very regularly generally do feel that God is watching out for them, that what happens to them in their future, whether good or bad, is because God wanted that to happen.
Do you have advice for people who are having trouble like sleeping and concentrating right now, even after they've taken recommended precautions to stay safe against this coronavirus? I don't think anyone alive now has lived in a situation where the entire planet was worried about the same thing simultaneously.
My biggest piece of advice that relates directly to what's going on right now is, unfortunately, we found over time, not just our research, but the research of many others, the dangers of social isolation in terms of causing paranoia, fear, negative health consequences, both psychological and physical. So what I would strongly encourage people to do right now is to make sure that they're reaching out in the methods that are available to us. That if people have the opportunity simply to get on Skype or some other medium such as that and talk to their friends and see their faces, play games over Skype. I know this sounds like silly advice, but this will, during this time, the particular circumstances we're faced with, help you a lot in terms of reducing your fear.
That was KERA's Chris Boyd talking with sociologist Christopher Bader. You can listen to the complete conversation at think.kera.org. In a programming note, KERA is retooling its weekday television schedule to serve pre-K through 12th grade students who are learning at home during the COVID-19 crisis. The new lineup begins Monday on KERA Channel 13. It will also stream on kera.org/learn. You can see the new schedule at kerinews.org. And you can visit kerinews.org for the latest on the COVID-19 in Texas. And stay caught up with our new e-newsletter. Sign up at kera.org/e-newsletters, and it'll be in your inbox each weeknight by 7 o'clock. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance of rain tonight with a low around 67. Tomorrow, there's a slight chance for storms with a high around 76. And tomorrow night, clear, a low near 51. At 5:58, this is KERA News.